Glory be to God. Well, we love God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. You can open in your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Hezekiah. 2 Hezekiah. Hallelujah. Everyone know where 2 Hezekiah is? Hallelujah. No, I don't. It does not exist. Amen? Just seeing if you're paying attention. Hallelujah. There is no 2 Hezekiah. Reason being is there's no 1 Hezekiah for it to follow. Amen? Hallelujah. Hezekiah is a person in the Bible, a king in the Bible, as a matter of fact, in the book of Isaiah, but he didn't get his own book. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are we going to go tonight? We're going to go to Psalm 103. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to talk about the ministry of angels a little bit. Amen? We're going to talk about the basics of angels and demons. Amen? Angelology and demonology. Hallelujah. We've got 12 lessons. I believe it's 12. It's either 12 or 16 lessons on the subject that we call the reality of angels on cassette, soon to be put on CD. We get another 16-part message already recorded for you. Amen. On cassette, soon to go on to CD, called Satan, Demons, and Divine Dominion. And boy, when I taught that one, people scattered. When I said, I stood up one Sunday and I said, beginning next Sunday, we're going to be teaching on the subject of Satan and demons. 3/4 of the people didn't show up. Never showed up again. They were afraid of the devil. Christians, afraid of the devil. Amen? Well, we'll talk about the devil a little bit more tonight, but tonight we're going to start off with the subject of angels. Amen. Let's go ahead. No, let me just say to you by way of introduction that there's a phenomenal relationship that exists between angels, man, and the Most High God. A phenomenal relationship indeed. Amen. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, that God is the... It is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. I just saw it in my spirit. That God is the Father of spirits. You know, you're a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. Genesis 1:26 says that God created you in His image and in His likeness. And Jesus said in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit. So if God's a spirit, you're a spirit. He is the Father of spirits. But angels are also spirit beings. And He's that Father too. Did you know that the Bible says that angels are in the same family of God that you are in? When John fell at the foot of the angel in the book of Revelation to worship the angel said, get up from there and don't do that. I'm a fellow servant, brethren, just like you. God, your Father, is also the Father of the angels of God. They're our brethren. You know, the Bible calls us saints of God. That word saint means sanctified, set apart, and holy individuals. And the same word is used for the angels of God, that they are the saints of God as well. Hallelujah! We're kin to angels. Amen? Many of the angels of God existed long before the human race. And the Bible says there are fellow servants. The Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 1, I believe in verse 14, that the angels of God are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who shall be heirs of salvation. Or who are heirs of salvation. That's you. And if you believe in for your family to be saved, that's them. Because it says, those who shall be heirs of salvation. The angels of God will go and minister to your family if you send them to. As Barbara said, when she was taking the offering tonight, we have to give voice to God's word. The Bible says in Psalm, let's look at it in Psalm 103. I wasn't going to read it, but hallelujah, I guess we are going to read it. Bless the Lord in verse 20. Barbara read this tonight during the offering. Stealing my stuff. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Who gives voice to God's word in the earth? Not God. We do. We are the ones who are to speak forth God's word in this earth. And the Bible says that they will hearken to the voice of God's word. By the way, that word angels, it's actually messenger, if you want to make a note of it. It's actually apostle. The same word that's used for apostles throughout the scripture. They're angels of God or apostles. Apostle means a sent one. They're sent into the earth. They excel in strength. And they are sent into this earth as messengers to do His commandments and to hearken unto the voice of your word when you commission them to go to work on your behalf. But look at the next verse. Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts. Still talking about angels. But that word host is actually warrior. Warrior. All ye His warriors, ye ministers of His that do His will. You see, this is a reference to the two kinds of angels. There's messenger angels, and there are warrior angels. There's a couple of archangels in the Bible, too. But basically, they're messenger angels, or they're warrior angels. Amen? Listen, there's over 100 appearances of angels to men and women in the Bible. Actually, there's 104. I counted them. Amen? We can't cover them all in one lesson, amen? But as I said, we have that series called The Reality of Angels. I forget, it's either 12 or 14 or 16 lessons where we covered the subject of angels and angelology extensively, amen? Angels are organized, they're businesslike, they're not unlimited, they're not all-knowing, they're not all-powerful, only God is all-knowing, only God is omniscient, only God, angels can't be everywhere at one time, only God can do that, the omnipresent, amen? But they're phenomenal creatures, they possess supernatural strength and supernatural intelligence, amen? Amen? And as far as I'm concerned, we're talking about miracles around here this year, 2008. The Lord gave me the word 2008 is going to be a year of miracles, but in order to have miracles, we have to teach on miracles because faith comes by hearing. You want to see miracles occur in our midst, we have to develop faith for miracles, and you do that simply by talking about it. Amen? And that's what we're doing. As far as I'm concerned, anytime an angel guides, assists, delivers, comforts, or even appears to a human being, it's a miracle in my estimation, because in order for angels to come out of the realm that they live in into this realm, the laws of nature need to be overridden. We live in the light realm. Everything in the realm that we live in travels slower than the speed of light. Everything in this realm travels slower than 186,000 miles per second. But outside of the light realm, everything out there travels faster than 186,000 miles per second. So in order for an angel to get from that realm where they're traveling faster than the speed of light, put the brakes on, slow down, come into this realm that we live in and travel slower than 186,000 miles per second without burning up like a comet or a meteor is a miracle. I don't know how it happens, but neither do you, so there. But it does happen, amen? Angels are phenomenal beings, amen? They live in the realm where everything travels faster than the speed of light, and just making the transformation between the two light realms without burning up is an absolute miracle, as far as I'm concerned, amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're here in Psalm 103. Let me just see where we're going to go from here. I'm going to change. I was just talking to you. Out of our volume 2 of Understanding Miracles of the Bible, I've got some notes I've prepared for you. Are you a believer tonight? You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then angels are at your disposal. Amen? And we want you to know, we just read right there in Psalm 103, that they excel in strength. You know, there's no reference in the Bible to a female angel. Nothing against females. Amen? I decided to marry one. Amen? They excel in strength, but there's nothing about female, but they can be so beautiful at times. They appear to be, to the human eye, some of them appear to be women, but there are no references to women. And you see, many of the world's denominations, they'll make statues of angels and they'll make them women. With womanly bodily components and everything, and there are no women angels in the Bible. They're all powerful men, the Bible says. And they excel in strength, and neither are they fat, plump, little, naked little babies flying around with bows and arrows. Amen? The Bible says that they're all powerful men who excel in strength. Amen? And they're at your disposal. They're powerful, and they're at your disposal. Amen? Some of them are messengers. Some of them are warriors. But they all wait our verbal commission. Amen? You've got to give a verbal voice command to angels in order for them to obey you, even as you have to give a vocal verbal voice command to Satan and demon spirits to get them to obey you. Amen? It's all done by the words of your mouth. Go over there to Daniel chapter 10. We'll go over here for a moment and just see what the Lord has to say in Daniel chapter 10. They're here. Amen? Angels of God, they're in this earth. Hallelujah. And if you're a believer, they are, I say this respectfully, they're at your beck and call. Amen? But you have to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in order for angels to respond to you as proficiently as God desires for them to and as they desire to. I'm not saying before someone is saved that the angels won't help them at all, because they will. They've helped you. They're assigned to you at birth, Jesus said. You have angels, Jesus said, that are always before the face of the Father in your behalf. The doctrine of a guardian angel for every human being is erroneous. It's error. It's not scripture. You don't have a guardian angel. You have multiple guardian angels. Jesus said that the children's angels, plural, are ever before the face of the Father, back and forth, going between this earth and the throne room on their behalf. So angels do work on your behalf before you're born again. Your guardian angels did that. You're still here today, no doubt, because your guardian angels intervened on your behalf before you were saved. Make sure that you stayed alive long enough to get saved so that you could accomplish the will of God in this earth. But they will not, they cannot work for you as proficiently as they can and do once you are born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you over there in Daniel chapter 10? We're talking about the angels of God here. Angels and demons, just the basics of angels and demons. Amen. Let's look at this vision that Daniel had. Amen. We want you to know that Satan has fallen angels assigned to all of the world's governments to hinder all of the prophecy. Before we read here, this... let me just go with you this way here. Amen. We shared this last Sunday when we talked about earthly habitations of demons, and we showed you from Scripture how demons prefer to inhabit. They do inhabit all the nations, all the governments of the world. Amen. They like to take over cities. They particularly love embodiment, seek embodiment in human beings in the nations and in the cities of the world. And if they can't get into a human being, they'll settle for an animal. Amen. Satan has fallen angels to all of the world's governments, and they're there for the express purpose of hindering prophecy concerning all of the coming world kingdoms, all of the coming world empires, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how dense they are. They actually believe that they can prevent Jesus Christ from coming back into this earth by conquering nations, conquering governments, conquering cities, and conquering man. They believe that they can stop Jesus from coming. Nothing can stop Jesus from coming. Amen? The Bible says He's coming. He's coming. You may as well just, even though it hasn't happened, it's been prophesied in the Bible, it's as good as history. Amen? That's what prophecy is. It's history before it happens. When God says something prophetically is going to happen, it's going to happen, so you may as well just chalk it down as past tense and not future tense. It's history. It's an established fact in the mind of God, and no one and no thing can stop it. But even still, Satan and demon powers attempt to stop the second coming of Jesus. They attempt to stop the rapture of the church. They attempt to stop your prosperity. They attempted to stop your salvation. They attempt to stop your healing. They're constantly on the move to hinder your prayer life. And this is what Daniel dealt with. Look right here in Daniel's praying and fasting. Verse 4, in the 4th and 20th day of the first month in Daniel chapter 10. We can't teach on this whole chapter, but we'll get something out of it. As I was by the side of the great river, which is Hidekel. Please say Hidekel. Everybody knows what the Hidekel River is, right? It's now known as the Tigris River. We know the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Amen. Tigris is mentioned only one time in Scripture. I think Euphrates is mentioned a dozen times because many biblical events occurred along the banks of the Euphrates River. Amen. Here's one that happened on the banks of the Tigris River, though, the Hidekel River. He said, I lifted up my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, that's not an angel. If you'll go over and read in Revelation chapter 1, in your own, I'll give you a homework assignment. Go read Revelation chapter 1. This is almost an identical description of Jesus as he was described in Revelation chapter 1. This is Jesus coming with an angel, who Jesus had commissioned the angel to give a word to Daniel, as we're going to see. But this is Jesus. This is not the angel just yet. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Amen? A couple of times when Jesus appeared to me, he had angels with him. The first time Jesus appeared to me, he had two angels with him. One on his left and one on his right. Jesus frequently appears to human beings with angels with him. Oftentimes, there's many reports of Jesus appearing to human beings with angels, and Jesus doesn't do the talking, the angels do. Amen? One time, I recall, just it comes to me now as I'm sharing with you. We're going to go through and read this chapter. Jesus, one of Brother Hagin's multiple visitations of Jesus, Prophet Hagin. Somebody said to me one time, man, you talk about Hagin all the time. You got your eyes on man. I said, no, I got my eyes on Jesus. And I have respect for the ascension offices that Jesus died for, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher, and gave to the body of Christ when he ascended up to heaven. The man's a true prophet of God. I'm going to listen to him. I'm not too prideful to use that man's life. He had more experiences with God than I probably ever will. Amen? Amen? I've preached my experiences. I've preached his. His are better. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't have my eyes on Dr. Kenneth Hagin, but I do receive the man as a prophet. God assigned me to him as a prophet 27 years ago. And when God assigns you to a prophet, he doesn't intend for you to ever break away for any reason unless that prophet backslides. Amen? And Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin with an angel. And the angel was just standing behind Jesus. And Brother Hagin said to Jesus, who's that? And Jesus said, he's your angel. And Brother Hagin said, what does he want? And he said, he has a message for you. And he said, Jesus, why don't you give it to me? And Jesus said to him, he has a message for you. And Brother Hagin repented in his heart. And he said, oh, okay, I'm ready. And the angels, he said to the angel, give it to me. And the angel gave him the message. Why did Jesus do it that way? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. Amen? Amen? I've had a similar experience where Jesus appeared to me and he spoke with me, but there were two angels standing behind him. They just stood there silent, just looking at me. They're so businesslike. I've never had an angel ask me for a cookie. They come, they do their business, and they're gone. Amen? And they're on assignment on your behalf right now as you sit in this room tonight. Angels are on assignment concerning you, accompanying you, preserving you, defending you, protecting you, and your loved ones in all of your ways. And the more you talk to them, the more you address them, the more active they'll be in your life. Some believers in this earth live their whole lives with guardian angels standing around them with arms folded, barely able to do anything because they're not addressed properly according to the precious, holy, written Word of God. We talk to our angels all the time in prayer. We talk to our angels all the time when we're not in prayer. So here's Daniel on his face praying, and Jesus appears to him with an angel. Amen? I, Daniel, alone, in verse 7, saw the vision. For the men that were with me didn't see the vision. That just goes to show you. That just goes to show you. Someone in this room could have a vision of an angel right now, and nobody else in the room see it. Amen? The men with Daniel didn't see it. But a great quake and fell on them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Amen? Therefore I was left alone, and I alone saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. He's in the presence of Jesus. Amen? He's fallen under the power of God. Yet I heard the voice of his words. Now this is the words of the angel that came with Jesus to give him a message. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face. He fell under the power. And my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me. Just like that hand that touched me. And I went under the power of God for nearly 3 full days. And hand touched me. Only this hand set him upon his knees and upon the palm of his hands. Knocked him right down on his hands and knees. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. And stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. This is the angel who was sent by the Jesus who's also standing right there. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, he was fasting and praying for 3 weeks, 21 days, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, you see that? The ruling spirit, like the ones we talked about past Sunday, over nations and over cities. The prince of Persia, the demonic prince of Persia, withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the Lord's chief princes. I just have to stop here and say, can you see through this? In verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia shows that Satan has demonic government just like God has angelic government. Look at, lo, Michael, one of God's chief princes. That's a reference to angelic government and order right there, an organization. He came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia, fighting them back on your behalf, Daniel. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. That's what Daniel was praying about. For yet the vision is for many days. Amen? Listen, you might be praying about something. You might be believing God for healing. You might be believing God for supernatural abundance and prosperity. You might be believing God for your family to be saved, and you ain't been seeing nothing. Nada. The big fat zero with the rim knocked off. Nothing. Amen? You need to understand there's a battle going on in the heavenlies on your behalf. And just like Barbara said to us tonight during the offering, if you've been believing and you haven't been seeing, delay is not denial. Amen? The bigger the things we're believing God for, the more fighting's going to have to go on in the heavenlies on our behalf. But we will prevail. Amen? Delay is not denial. That's what this angel was revealing to Daniel. Don't be moved by delay. It's not denial. Amen? If we have scripture for something, and we've not been seeing answers, it's time to just double up our faith efforts, squint our eyes, grit our teeth, clench our fists, and hang in there and keep on believing. Our words will come to pass. The will of God will come to pass. Amen? I've had more people struggle with what Barbara and I are going through here on Cape Cod. And I say this in a spirit of humility, not in a spirit of pride. If you were the devil, who would be the first one you'd want to drive off this Cape? The word preachers. If you were the devil, who would be the first person you would choose to get them the hell out of here? In the devil's words. Quoting the devil, not cussing in church. That's not cussing anyway. Amen? We have a friend who says, get them the H-E double hockey sticks out of here. Amen? Delay is not denial. There's warfare going on in the heavenlies on our behalf, and we will prevail. But we can't just run because it's been tough. Amen? It's been tough because all the forces of evil have been focused on us to stop us. The devil doesn't want the gospel preached. The devil doesn't want Christians on Cape Cod to realize the gospel hasn't been being preached in all of its fullness. He wants them to keep believing what they got is all there is. You've been seeing in the past year, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's so much more. And the angels of God, they'll see to it. Amen. The warrior angels, the messenger angels, they're all out there on behalf of the church. On behalf of you as individuals, on behalf of your family and your loved ones, battling through Satan and demon powers to get the job done. And they will get the job done. Delay is not denial. Amen? Can you see that in Daniel chapter 10? Well, glory be to God. Just tell the angels what you need. We tell them what we need all the time. Amen? Tell them what to do, and they'll do it. As long as it's legal, moral, and scriptural. You can tell those angels to go and influence laborers to cross paths with my loved ones who can preach the gospel to them and get them saved. Angels can't preach the gospel in this dispensation that we live in. Once we're raptured and the tribulation period begins in the earth, the Bible reveals. Have I been preaching for 45 minutes already? No. 20. The Bible reveals once the tribulation period begins, angels will preach the gospel. I should say once the millennial, tribulation period through the millennial reign, and during the battle of Armageddon, even the angels of God will preach the gospel. They'll fly through the heavens preaching the gospel to men in the earth. But right now, angels can't preach the gospel to men. You find that in Acts chapter 10, where the angel came to Cornelius, the Roman centurion. The angels will tell you where you can find a preacher. The angel told Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 that he would find Peter over in Joppa. Send for him. He'll come back and he'll tell you what to do to get saved. But angels can't preach the gospel. But angels can direct laborers to your loved ones so that the laborers can preach the gospel and get them saved. Amen. God knows just the right laborers for your loved ones. And if you'll tell the angels to direct those ones to your loved ones, God will see to it personally that they do that for you. Just the ones that your loved one needs, no matter how resistant they might be to the gospel. God promises in Acts 16:31, He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, and your household." Don't take no for an answer. It is God's will to save even that raunchy old boy or girl who doesn't deserve to be saved. It is God's will. And you can tell the angels of God to cause those laborers to cross their path, and the angels of God, even while you're sleeping, they will search the avenues of God's wisdom to find ways to cause your prayers to come to pass, as long as what you're telling them to do is legal, is moral, and scriptural. Amen. They'll go to work on behalf of you and your family. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14 that they're all ministering servants sent forth. Somebody look at that in your Bible. Show me that in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, Barbara. Get over there quickly if you would. Amen. Everybody else, get over to Genesis chapter 28. Well, Barbara, let me borrow your Amplified Bible. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 says that the angels of God are all ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation. That would include those who have already inherited salvation as well. I'm going to read that again. That's good in the Amplified. The angels of God are ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation. That'd be you and your loved ones, honey. Amen. The angels of God will influence your loved ones for good, just like demons influence our loved ones for evil. We can bind up those evil spirits that influence them towards malevolent behavior, and we can loose the angels of God on their behalf to influence them for benevolent or good behavior. Amen? But we have to do it. We have to do it. We have to do it. They hearken to the voice of God's Word. You don't normally hear God speaking in the earth every day, do you? No. We give voice to God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. I do this frequently. Look right here. If you put your Bible up, do you hear the Bible talking? I don't hear anything. Amen? Hallelujah. But you can sure hear me when I stand up here and speak it and preach it, right? And the angels of God wait to hear you so that they can cause the will of God to come to pass in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go over here. What did I say? Genesis 28. I'm just sharing with you tonight some scriptures God put in my heart. He'll speak to you more specifically, whatever it is you need to hear out of these passages as we go through them. We're here in Genesis chapter 28. We're talking about the basics of angelology and demonology here tonight. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob's dream. You know, in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, angels appeared to men 34 times in dreams. There's 104 instances in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation of angels appearing to men and women, giving them words of guidance, warning, revelation, protecting them, whatever, intervening on their behalf. 34 times angels have appeared to men and women in Scripture through dreams. Amen? Jacob had a vision of angels right here. I've had that angel that came to me in a dream, the one that I've told you frequently. He stood right before me. I was in a dream, but it was like I was wide awake. And he said to me, "You will place your feet on the soil of no less than 35 nations of the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he was gone, and I woke up. Why did he come to me in a dream? not in a vision. Why didn't he just come walking in my room and talk to me? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. Amen? 34 times in the Bible, angels appear to men in dreams. Amen? Most of them are in the Old Testament. People weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard somebody say one time, possibly, I think it was Dr. Lester Sumrall who said it, possibly God appeared to man, angels appeared to man in dreams in the Bible, because when they were asleep, they were less resistant. And they'd have no Holy Spirit dwelling in them. The blood of Jesus hadn't cleansed them of their sin. And where the blood has not cleansed, the Spirit cannot go. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to speak to them directly. So when they were down and out, down for the count, sawing logs, catching some Z's, no resistance, the angels could come, God could come and speak to them in a dream. He doesn't do that so much in the New Testament, but he does do it, and I've experienced it multiple times. Amen. As a matter of fact, I am now up to 8 angelic visitations, now counting the 2 that recently appeared to Barbara and me at Thousands Beach in Austerville, Massachusetts, here in Cape Cod, on March 13th and again on March the 15th of 2008. Amen. He doesn't speak so much in dreams anymore because now we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us and the Holy Spirit can speak to us directly. But he still does use dreams. And Joel said in Joel chapter 2:28 that there'd be even greater occurrences of dreams and women, prophecy and the Spirit of God moving upon men and women. We're going to see it more and more as we're approaching the last days of Jesus. Amen. But here we have Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, angels appearing to him in a dream. Just something interesting we want to look at here. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And are you there in 10? Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Somebody's giving me a face like they're lost. Is everybody there? Did you find that in my... Jacob went out from Beersheba? Is that in your Bible? If it's not, throw one. Throw it away and get one that does say it. Okay, you got it. Amen. You're reading in the Amplified. That's why he went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and he spent the night there, tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And look right there. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth. It actually says, if you look at it, a terrace. Like terracing on a slope. Like more like steps. A ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. They were coming down from heaven on a terrace work to minister to the needs of God's people and going back up the terrace work to tell God of the needs of his people. And God was sending them back down with permission to meet the needs of the people. And they'd go back up before the throne of God to tell God the needs of the people. And he'd send them back down to meet them. You see that? They were ascending and descending. They still do it. Amen? Amen? It hasn't changed all that much in the 21st century. Amen? Although we, you know. Yet, and by the way, Jacob wasn't all that uncomfortable. He was a shepherd sleeping outside like that. They did that all the time. Amen. He's very comfortable sitting there. God hadn't abandoned him. He wasn't lacking prosperity or anything. They slept outside all the time. But look at the top of the ladder. Behold, the Lord stood above the top of the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Oh, now, we could just read this further, but we're not going to do that. Amen. Jacob ended up making a vow to God that night, but we see that God appeared to Jacob in this dream. I'm sorry, the angels of God appeared as on a ladder or on a terrace work going back and forth from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven. Isn't that what God told Nathaniel in John chapter 1? You'll have to check my reference, put it in your notes, 47 through 51, I believe. When God saw Nathanael coming, he said to Nathanael, by the word of knowledge, he said, behold, a man in whom there's no guile or no deceit. And Nathanael said to Jesus, how'd you know that about me? And Jesus said to him, in essence, I know a lot about you. I saw you, as a matter of fact, sitting over under the fig tree when your brother came to get you and told him and told you all about me. And Nathanael was astonished because he was sitting under the fig tree when his brother came to tell him that they believed they had found the Messiah of the earth performing all these miracles. And he was astonished, the Bible said. And Jesus said, oh, you think that's something? You can go read this in your own time. From henceforth, from this day forth, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Didn't he say that to Nathanael? And you can be sure Nathanael saw it. Amen? They had lots of angelic experiences as they walked and they lived with Jesus. Amen? You can have lots of them too. They're around you right now. Your guardian angels, plural, are with you right now. Right now! Right now in this room with you. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. So we're talking about angels. Amen? Hallelujah. From Genesis to Revelation, 104 appearances. Amen. In 1981, I had just been saved. And I was sleeping in Woburn, Massachusetts. I had just been saved. I was maybe saved, I don't know. I'm saved 27 years right now, this spring. I had that experience where the angel's hand rested on my head in my living room in 14 Sunnyside Road, Woburn, Massachusetts, 01801, in the spring of 1981. I was laying in the living room, and I was delivered supernaturally from drugs and alcohol as the hand of the angel of the Lord rested, a giant hand rested on my head three times. I was slain in the spirit. I woke up nearly three full days later. And I was supernaturally delivered from drug and alcohol addiction. And here I am today. Amen. It was supernatural deliverance. I would say about 3 months after that, I was sleeping in the bedroom. And I woke up in the middle of the night to something in the room. And I looked at the foot of my bed, and there was an angel standing at the foot of my bed. I was a brand new believer. And that angel had on a robe that was iridescent. Purple, green, blues, reds. It was like a living garment. The most beautiful colors I had ever seen. Every one of them were iridescent colors. We're talking about the angels of God. They minister on your behalf all the time. The more you talk to him, to them, the busier they'll be on your behalf. And they will go out and they'll minister on behalf of your family. I don't mean to point. They will go out and minister on behalf of your families. Save them, preserve them, accompany, preserve, and defend them in all their ways. See to it that they get saved and that they're protected until they can get saved. And until they can learn how to commission the angels for themselves. Amen. This is an illustration of that. That angel was at the foot of my bed. I'm telling you, it scared the fire out of me. I pulled the covers up under my chin, get up against the back wall, and pull my legs up under me. That angel was standing at the foot of my bed in the most brightly colored, beautiful, iridescent clothing I've ever seen in my life. And as bright as the clothing was, it didn't reflect through the room and light the room up. The light stayed in the clothing. And the room stayed dark. And I looked, and he was holding a baby. And the baby had on a diaper. The baby was crying. And I looked at the baby's face, and it was my younger brother, who was about 23 years old at that time. It was my younger little brother, 5 years younger than me at the time. I'll always be 5 years younger than me, come to think of it. And I looked at him holding my brother. And I saw his face. I knew it was my brother. And I'm standing there thinking, what is that? I was frightened. Like Daniel was frightened. What is that angel doing with my brother? All of a sudden, beside him, appeared another angel. And this angel had on even more beautiful clothing. White. It was a man. He looked like a man. But he had on a gown of iridescent white that was whiter than the whitest of all earthly whites. And it was loaded with some sort of living energy. It was radiating light, but it also wasn't lighting the room up. It was like living clothing. And all of a sudden, when I looked at the other angel, I realized it wasn't an angel at all. It was a demon that had disguised himself as an angel of light.
And when I contrasted the two, as I looked at the both of them standing at the foot of the bed, the beauty of the true angel caused me to see what I thought was beautiful on the first angel, who turned out to be a demon disguising himself as an angel. All of a sudden, in contrast, his clothes were frightfully ugly. But before the real angel showed up, it just appeared to be the most beautiful garment I'd ever seen in my life. But when the one with the white garment, the pure garment, the glistening, iridescent white garment showed up, it showed the ugliness of the demon who was masquerading as an angel of light. And that demon that held my brother, masquerading as an angel of light, just looked at the other angel and immediately gave the baby to the other angel and disappeared. And the other angel stood there, holding my brother, who stopped crying. And then he disappeared with the baby. He didn't have to do warfare with the demon. He just looked at the demon who was disguising himself as an angel of light, and the demon knew, give it up, you don't stand a chance. And he just gave my brother to the angel, and he just seemed to dissolve. He was gone. I hadn't seen my brother in 4 years, approximately. I was figuring it this afternoon. I hadn't seen my brother in 4 years. 2 years later, I encountered him in Santa Barbara, California. Was able to spend a little bit of time with him. And as I was leaving Santa Barbara, California, the day I was leaving, it was when I was saved, but I was still working in the rock and roll industry, driving semi-trucks, and I had to leave to go on a tour. I didn't know that that job was wrong for me. You read the Albuquerque Fire Pit Experience, and you find out how the Lord visited me in my Albuquerque, New Mexico motel room and got me out of that business like that. The day I left to go to work for a famous name entertainer, I led my brother to the Lord. He confessed Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. That was 25 years ago, and I've never seen him again. I don't know where he is. I've never seen him again. I was to be back in 2 weeks. I left that show that I was on, and I went out with another show, and then I never got back to California, and I lost track of my brother, and I haven't seen him for 25 years. But he got saved the very last day that I ever saw him. And I saw that when the demon appeared at the end of my bed, disguised. You know, the Bible says that Satan himself masquerades and disguises himself as an angel of light, and his ministers disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness. And I guess I'm saying that, all of that to tell you this. The angels of God battle on behalf of your family, and demons are frightened of them. When that demon saw the real angel show up, he knew what he was there for. I don't know why it happened the way that it did. I don't know everything about God and angels and demons in the Bible, not even close. All I know is, I sat frightened on that bed, and I watched that demon look at that angel and just instantly give that child over to that angel and dissipate. He didn't have the fight in him. Amen? Demons are frightened of angels. Amen. We are not to do battle with the devil. So many believers in this earth, you hear it all over the place, particularly on the internet, and particularly over there at the Elijah list, which I have often warned you about. Amen. Flaky spiritual warfare going on over there. We're not warriors. Angels are warriors. Amen. We're citizens of the kingdom, just like we're citizens of the United States, and the military's fighting the battles over in Iraq. Not us. The warriors are in Iraq fighting. We're citizens. Amen. The angels are the warriors. We're the citizens of the kingdom. The angels do the warring for us. Jesus has already beat them on our behalf. Amen. He's triumphed over them. He stripped them. He pulled their pants down, one translation of the Bible says, and triumphed over them openly and made them march down Main Street and downtown eternity as his victims. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. The angels of God. The angels of God. I know we spent a lot of time talking about demons last Sunday, and the Lord put it on my heart. Now you come on back and you talk about angels on Wednesday. Amen. So that's what we're talking about here tonight. They're there. Daniel saw them. I've seen them. You just may see them. Amen. 34 people saw them throughout the Bible. In dreams, 104. In visions, open visions, trances, spiritual visions. I've seen them in dreams. I've seen them in open visions. 8 times I've told. I'm telling you, they're real.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But you know, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. All people aren't always going to have opportunity to see angels. They have to take it by faith. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must not only believe that He exists, but that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So most of us are going to have to take the fact that angels exist by faith until we get into eternity. We will live with them forever as our brethren and as our fellow servants. Amen? And in this present evil world, there's other spiritual entities that we have to deal with daily, and you know who they are. They're Satan and demon powers. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12. Paul said, hallelujah, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with powers and with, hallelujah, soberete sigi per umano, e pero da saki perde se tikim perde, samano sigi perde, e shiki perdeste. So says the Spirit of God, speak forth my word into the earth. Speak forth your commands to my angels, and they will obey. For many of you have neglected this part of so great a salvation. And does not my word say, how shall we escape safely and securely if we neglect so great a salvation? So speak to the angels of God. Neglect not this aspect of your salvation. And they will indeed work for you. They will indeed work for your family. They will even cause healing to come. They will cause prosperity to come. Oh no, they'll not bring it to you, but they will cause it to come. They will fix your finances. They will bless your finances. They will increase you financially if you will speak. If you will speak. If you will speak. So perente, sequi paroto, savramineke, sequi perodasso, pretende, ke barosha, ke paradisa, teke perodosha, teke. So speak for, says the Spirit of God. Say it now, says the Spirit of God. Say, angels, go. Fix my finances. Increase me. Bless my finances. Accompany. Preserve and defend my loved ones in all their ways. Protect me. Accompany. Preserve and defend me in all my ways. In Jesus' strong name. Now the Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And before I let you go tonight, now you know you have all authority over Satan and demon powers. Amen. You know that Jesus said in Matthew 12:29, you can bind the strong man and you can plunder his house. You know that Jesus said in Luke 10:19-20, you know that Jesus said in Luke 10:19-20, se chi perodosso co paradese ti chi barodos e veredese chi perodeste e ga paradasso chi perodeste sanga. Look at it in your Bible. Look at it in your Bible. That's what the Lord wants, to look at it in the Bible. We're not through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at it in your Bible. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Se chi perodisce toga mana che se teca paradosse teca. Hallelujah. Let's just go with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's let Him move. Let's not tell Him when we're through. Let's let Him tell us when He's through. Luke 10. Sigi perano, sigi peridege, ambarudushte. He knows we have to go to work tomorrow, some of us. Amen. But He also knows we have need of this information. Look what Jesus said in Luke 10. In verse 18, He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Is everybody there? Luke 10:18, He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, he was cast down into this earth. John, on his vision in Patmos, now just listen, amen, because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. In Revelation 9:9, He said that He himself also in vision form, John the Apostle, So, Satan, the deceiver of the brethren, cast down into the earth with a third of his angels in this earth. He's in this earth now. Jesus said he also saw it when the Father did it. Cast them like lightning into this earth. He is in this earth, and we must needs hold him in incarceration, or he'll run rampant over us and over the population and the nations and the cities and the people and the animals of this earth. We must hold him in incarceration. Jesus cast him into this earth. The Father did like lightning. And Jesus said, now that he's here, in verse 19, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, symbolic of Satan and demon powers, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you, unless you don't take authority over him. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you. Say, the spirits are subject to me. The spirits are subject to me. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus said he cast him in the earth to put him in submission to you. We absolutely must take authority over Satan and demon spirits in this earth. Unlike God's holy angels, these spirits exist to harm human beings. They exist to run interference between you and God, between you and the angels, between you and answered prayer. And you absolutely must take authority over them, even as you absolutely must commission the angels of God to go to battle on your behalf. Amen? The Lord just said to us through prophecy, many of us are neglecting our salvation by overlooking this aspect of our salvation. That's what he did. Did you just get that when he just came out of my spirit? Amen? He said, many of us are neglecting so great a deliverance by overlooking this aspect of salvation. Not talking to the angels and not talking to the demons. Enough. Amen? We need to do this. Amen? Jesus said, resist the devil and he will flee. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16:15, he said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out unclean spirits. Hallelujah. It's time for the demons in this earth to stop pushing you around, pushing us around, pushing people around on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, America, and the nations of the world. Jesus said, I cast out spirits by the finger of God or the power of God. And he said, the works that I do, you will do also. Go home tonight realizing this, that the Holy Ghost spoke to you tonight by the anointing of God, telling you to never again neglect so great a salvation by neglecting these aspects of salvation. Speak to the angels, speak to the demons, speak to the angels, speak to the demons, and do it on a daily basis, says the Spirit of God. I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God tonight. Amen. Don't ask God to do for you what he says for you to do for yourself. Do you get anything out of this tonight? You say this after me. See, I release the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world from every assignment against me. I bind all demonic principalities and powers in Jesus' strong name. And I commission the angels of God
to go forth now
and benefit me
and
my loved ones in every possible way in Jesus' strong name. Now, if you'll stand up, I'm going to tell you a quick story, please, as we close. Amen. We're ready to go. Oh, glory be to God. Dr. Kenneth Hagin, Jesus, sitting in his room. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, at the foot of his bed. And he gave Brother Hagin personal revelation of this. The believers, he wrote a book on it called The Believer's Authority Over Satan and Demon Powers. And he said, Kenneth, you see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that my word says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Our fight isn't with human beings. We wrestle. Wrestle meaning we put them to the mat and hold them there.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Humans aren't our enemies. But with principalities. Look at this. At the top. Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The strongest spirits are the principalities. The powers submit to them. Below them are the rulers of the darkness who submit to the powers and the principalities. And below them are the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now here's what he said. He said, Kenneth, this is what Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, standing right in front of him like I'm standing in front of you right now. He said, Kenneth, you take care of the principalities. You take care of the powers. You take care of the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world that you live in. And I'll take care of the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. You're not up there, I am. I'll take care of that. You take care of what's down here. And we got believers all over the place today telling the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places that Jesus told Brother Hagin, don't you even bother with them. I'll take care of them. The angels will do that. You take care of the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of the darkness of the present evil world you live in. And we have believers today, right here on Cape Cod, no less, telling the spiritual wickedness in high places, come down. In Jesus' name, come down. We don't want to do that. He told them, don't even bother with them. You take care of the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness. He'd say the same thing to you if he was standing here today. Amen? Bind the devil in your life on a daily basis. Bind accident, incident, injury, confusion, frustration, failure. Release the angels of God on your behalf. The Lord said to us tonight, that came out of my spirit. I no more ever thought of that before, that we are neglecting so great a salvation when we overlook this aspect of salvation. Lift your hands and praise Him. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Thank You for the angels of God, Father. The ministering spirits, Father, who go forth on a daily basis as we commission them with the words of our mouth, God, to benefit us and our families, God. God, we thank You. We bless You. We thank You for the angels of God. Thank You for the angels of God. Boro, sembreke. Just worship Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him in your heart. You give Him your word. You'll never again neglect so great a salvation by overlooking talking to angels and demon spirits on a daily basis. Amen. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord. You know, the Bible also says to be careful in entertaining strangers in Hebrews 13:2, because some of you are entertaining angels unawares. You never know who you're dealing with. You never know who you're dealing with. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank You. Father, let this, I'm just going to pray over you as you go. Father, let this be a revelation that changes their lives forever. Simple as it is, God, that angels are the warriors. We are the citizens, Father. We commission the angels. They go to battle on our behalf. We take authority over Satan and demon powers. We don't fight with them. We bind them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let it be a revelation. Let it settle in them as a revelation that changes their lives forever, God. The importance of addressing, giving voice commands to the angels of God on a daily basis, particularly when those times of crisis come, that they'd open their mouths and they'd say, angels of God, go! Go! Go and do the will of God in Jesus' strong name on my behalf in this matter. And Satan, you be bound. You have no lot. You have no part in this matter. The Lord, Jesus Christ, rebukes you. Amen. Lift your hands and worship God. Hallelujah.